Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Barry Shoub, the former executive director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. Professor Shoub, great to have you back with us this afternoon.
Thanks. Thanks, Simon.
Prof, so today we're going to be talking about why obese people are more prone to severe COVID. Why would that be the case, Prof?
Yeah. You know, the reason I'm doing this is because I think many of us have heard, and a lot of them I've had inquiries about, these rather tragic histories of young individuals, young in their 30s and 40s, mainly men more than women, who are infected with COVID. And then they have this tragic history. They're in hospital, many of them ICU, and of course, unfortunately, tragically, some have died. And the only apparent risk factor, that you're relatively young, is that they are overweight, that they're obese. And there have been a number of studies which really have confirmed this. I'll just mention two of them, both in the United States, one published in a journal called Obesity Reviews. They looked at 399,000 infected patients with COVID, and they found that the likelihood of being hospitalized 113% higher in obese individuals, 74% higher of them going to ICU, and 48% higher of them dying. In another study of 17,000 hospitalized patients, 77% were overweight, 29% really overweight, and 48% obese. What do we really mean by overweight? Now, this is classified by what we call the Body Mass Index, or BMI. Okay. You probably have heard of it. Okay. The BMI index is measured by the weight divided by the square of the height. So weight in kilograms, for example, square of the height in meters. And then you get a BMI index. And anything above 25, between 25 and 30, is regarded as being overweight. And 30 plus is regarded as being pathologically obese. So the question is, why is this a risk factor? Because, you know, if you really look at it, why should obesity itself be a risk factor? It doesn't, you know, it's certainly not a risk factor for any other infectious diseases per se.
Okay.
And there are a number of reasons. One of them is an obvious reason. There's a breathing restriction. If there's excess abdominal fat, it pushes the diaphragm up, and therefore particularly the lower lobes of the lung can't oxygenate efficiently enough. And that's where most of the oxygenation of blood takes place. So breathing restriction is one. That's obvious. Second one is that in obese individuals, they tend to thrombose. Their blood tends to coagulate more regularly, avidly than non-obese individuals. And we know that this hypercoagulable state is part of the pathology of COVID. So that contributes to it. Thirdly, there's also an immunity problem because there's a fatty infiltration of the organs of the body which produce the immune cells, the bone marrow, the spleen, the thymus, which is a gland in the neck.
Yeah.
And because of that, there's a deficiency of production of immune cells, and those that are produced are not functionally adequate. Then there are other things as well. Often there are other diseases such as diabetes and hypertension which go along with obesity. And then also an interesting one which they've done studies on, and that is that people with obesity have a stigma about going to medical attention. They are concerned that they'll be looked down on because they're overweight when they go to the doctor. And therefore they tend to neglect the regular checkups, etc. So these all contribute to really kind of obesity being a risk factor. But what's important, and they've shown this in studies, that if there's a moderate reduction, so for example, a 300-pound individual, the moderate reduction, there's a disproportionate decrease in risk.
Comorbidity. When you say moderate, Prof, what do we mean by moderate?
Well, I don't want to quantify it because it'll depend what your starting thing is. But I think most people will know what a moderate is, in terms of losing kilograms, depending what you start off with, of course. And that would result in a disproportionate reduction of risk. So what I'm trying to say is that even moderate reduction doesn't lead to moderate reduction of risk. Moderate reduction of weight doesn't lead to moderate reduction of risk. It's disproportionately decrease of risk.
Professor Shoub, thank you as always for making us wiser, and explaining the inexplicable to us. We'll be chatting to you tomorrow, Prof.
Yeah. Thanks, Ivan. All the best.